Now we talk, inshallah, we'll talk, inshallah, a little bit about Jannah and about Hur al-Ain. You know, we said that a shaheed, when one gets shahada, when one gets martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to his sins being forgiven, and in addition to the fact that he will not have the pain of death, and that he will not be in the fitna of the graveyard, he will not be asked by the two angels, Munkar and Nakir. And in addition to the fact that he will be, he will make intercession for 70 of his family members, and plus on top of that, he will be given 72 Hur al-Ain, and on top of that, he will be also saved from the horror, from the horrific, terrible day. So, we'll talk, inshallah, about the Jannah and the Hur al-Ain. We'll concentrate on Hur al-Ain so that we know what we are talking about. The Jannah is a place where one, when Muslims, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us one of them, when Muslims go there, it's a place that is much better than anything that one can imagine. So if one goes home today and keeps thinking and imagining about a place that he wants to be, and that he wants this and he wants that and he wants to have so and so, no matter what you think and what your imagination takes you, it will not be even close to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the mujahideen, especially the mujahideen and the shuhada in the Jannah. Because as I said earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Jannah, and he has made 100 levels for the mujahideen, those who make jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between one level and the other is between the heavens and the earth. That's a very, very big difference between one level and the other. So in Jannah, one, first of all, never dies. In Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with the Muslims, with the believers. He will never get angry with them, no matter what they do. In Jannah, one will have huge, huge places and numberless of houses and castles made of gold and made of all type of jewelers that we haven't even seen. So the jewelry, the gold of Jannah is not like the gold of dunya. It's all totally different. And in Jannah is when one will see the beloved prophets, and the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the beloved Sahaba. And it has many different rivers of honey, rivers of yogurt and milk, rivers of wine that does not make one get drunk, and many other rivers that flows beneath one's castle. This place, when one gets a shahada, automatically he will immediately go in this place, and he will have his rizq, his food, come to him day and night. Let's talk about, inshallah, let's concentrate on the Hur al-Ain, since Hur al-Ain is one of the best things that one will have in Jannah, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a shahada. So I will be quoting from book of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah. The book is called Hadi al-Arwah by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah. It's a very great book that talks about the Jannah and about the believers and what they will have in Jannah and so on and so forth. It talks about the souls and things like that. And one of the sections of this book talks about, in detail, about the Hur al-Ain, the woman of Jannah. Inshallah, we start by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون. And give the believers, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do good deeds, that give them glad tidings that they will have gardens which will have rivers that will flow beneath them. And every time that they have been provided with food, with fruits, they would say, this fruit is similar to the one that we had just now. وَأُتُبِي مُتَشَابِيَا, and to them Allah provided similar fruits. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, and they will have wives that are purified, that are purified, and they are in the Jannah, Khalidun, forever. They're there forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this one verse has given the believers and who do good deeds, and who is better than the mujahideen, because their deeds are the best deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave glad tidings in one verse that contains the blessings of the Jannah, which has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Jannah and the rivers that flows in them, and mentioned the fruits, and mentions wives that are purified, and mentions the blessings of the joy, the joys of the heart when the heart sees these, and when the eyes sees all of this blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he gave them the great glad tidings by saying that they are in this blessing forever, that all of this rizq, all of this food, all of this fruits, these beautiful purified wives, they will have forever. Nothing will finish. No one will age. No diseases, no sicknesses, nothing to worry about. You don't have to work for your food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers the food. Everything is there. And Ibn Taym says in the explanation of the word mutahhara, which is purified, that it's a wife that has been purified from the period, from urinating, from the menstruation, and all other types of fluid that come out of the human body, that they are purified, and they don't even spit. They don't even spit any type of fluid that, you know, we know of in the dunya. Any type of fluid, whether it's external fluid, internal fluid, whether it's blood, whether it's spitting, whether it's urination, whatever the fluid is, they are purified. They are not. They don't have such fluid. They are clean. And another thing said about this, that mutahara also means that when one has sexual intercourse with his wife in Jannah, they are virgin, and after one is finished having sexual intercourse with a wife, they return back to the state of virginity. So they stay virgin. They stay virgin forever. They stay virgin forever. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dukhan, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المتقين في مقام أمين في جنات وعيون يلبسون من سندس واستبرق متقابلين كذلك وزوجناهم بحور عين يدعون فيها بكل فاكهة آمنين لا يذوقون فيها الموت إلا الموتة الأولى ووقاهم عذاب الجحيم. As to the righteousness, they will be, as to the believers with righteous deeds, they will be in a position of security among gardens and springs, dressed in fine silk and in rich brocade. They will face each other. Moreover, we shall join them to companions with beautiful, big and lustrous eyes. There can they call for every kind of fruit in peace and security, nor will they there taste death except the first death, and he will preserve them. He will preserve them from the penalty of the blazing fire, as a bounty from thy Lord. That will be the supreme achievement. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse, he mentions first of all that they will be in a very secure place, secure from being harmed, secure from being harmed from anything that one can imagine of. The security also includes that their fruits, their food, their life, they will have a good life. Their fruits and their food, foods that one never even imagined of, they will have continuously come to them. And also Allah in this verse mentioned that they will have very, very good clothes of silk and of other type of clothes that is only found in Jannah. And it's better, those type of clothes never gets dirty, never even gets wrinkled or anything like this. You don't have to wash, you don't have to do anything about it. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse that the believers in Jannah will meet one another. They'll meet one another, they go visit one another. And then he mentioned that they will have great pleasure to be with the wives of Hur al-Ain. This is a very great pleasure to be with the wife of Hur al-Ain. Actually, just smelling the Hur al-Ain is a great pleasure. Let alone the looking at the Hur al-Ain, let alone talking with the Hur al-Ain, let alone touching the Hur al-Ain, and let alone having sexual intercourse with the Hur al-Ain. All of these are pleasure with the Hur al-Ain. And we'll talk more about Hur al-Ain, inshallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions that they will be invited for all kinds of fruits, for all kinds of goodies that they desire, that they like to eat. And he said, "Yad'una fiha bikulli fakihatin aminin," that they will be secured, they will be guaranteed that these fruits that come to them are continuous, are fruits that continuously will grow for them. It's a never ending thing. It's a never ending thing. They don't have to worry about planting anything. They don't have to worry about paying for anything. None of this stuff that we have in dunya. Then he said, "La yadhuquna fiha al-mauta," that they will never ever taste death again, except the first death that they have died in the dunya. After that death, once they are in Jannah, they will never leave the Jannah, they will never die. And on top of all these blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them from that severe punishment. I mean, that alone, subhanAllah, is the best blessing. That alone is itself the best blessing, one to be protected from this great severe punishment of hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now, in the definition of Hur al-Ain, Ibn Qayyim says, Al-Hawra, Al-Hur, Jama Hawra, that Hur, plural is a plural of Hawra, and it's a woman that is very young, extremely, extremely beautiful, with extreme white skin, extreme darkness of the eyes, and extreme sense, smooth skins, and great colored skin. And he said that Ain, meaning that her eyes is extremely beautiful, not like the eyes of the woman of dunya. Her eyes are very beautiful, dark. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how they look like. No one would know until one sees them. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Rahman, فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ لَمْ يَطْمِثُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. In them will be maidens chaste, restraining their glances, whom no man or jinn before them has touched. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ in Surah As-Safat. And in a third verse, in Surah Sad, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ أَتْرَابِ in Surah As-Safat, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ and besides them will be chaste women, restraining their glances with big eyes of wonder and beauty. And in Surah Sad, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ أَتْرَابِ and beside them will be chaste women, restraining their glances, companions of equal age. So all of the Ibn Qayyim says that all of the Mufassirin, all of the translators of the Quran say that the word qasarna tarafahunna, that word qasirat. So the Mufassirun said that qasirat, meaning that they restrain their glances, they restrain themselves, and they do not look at, and they do not look at no one but their husbands, and they want no one but their husbands, and they love no one but their husbands. And the word atrab, it's a plural of tarab, and it is the pleasure of the human. So also Ibn Abbas made the major mufassirin said that these Hur al-Ain have the same age. They are very, very youth, very young, very beautiful. They are the same age and they are extremely beautiful. They don't have any old Hur al-Ain. All of them are beautiful, the same age. They do not even give birth. And we also mentioned before that they are purified, that they are virgin all the time. So the virginity, the state of virginity returns to them when one is finished having sexual intercourse with them. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئِينَ على فرش بطائنها من استبرق وجنال الجنتين دان, that they will recline on carpets whose inner linings will be of rich brocade, the fruit of the gardens will be near and easy of reach. And about the Hur al-Ain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان, that whom no man or jinn before them has touched. So the Mufassirin said that that these Hur al-Ain, no one has touched, no one has touched them, no one has married them. They have been created in Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for the people of Jannah, that no jinn has touched them. Whereas in dunya, we know that sometimes one can marry a woman that no human has touched, meaning no one has slept with her, no one has had intercourse with her, but the jinn, you know, can go inside, can go inside the body and make zina that way. But in Jannah, the jinn have no way, the jinns have no way of touching, of going inside the Hur al-Ain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prevented that, so that becomes more clean, becomes more pure in that sense. So the Hur al-Ain are women who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created in Jannah, and Imam Ahmad says that Hur al-Ain, those women, they do not die. Some of the Mufassirins said that they will be like restrained in the tent, and that you know, they will not go out, they will not go anywhere. But Ibn Qayyim said that this tafsir is wrong, that the correct one, according to some other Mufassirin, that it means that once they're in the khiyam and they're restrained, meaning they do not look at no one else, they only look at their husbands and they do not see no one else. Their heart is completely attached to their husbands, that they do not want or look or see anyone else. But of course, they will come with the husband anywhere he wants to go. For example, if the husband goes out, they will go out with him. If he wants to go to a garden, if he wants to go shopping, if he wants to go anywhere, they will come with him. So it does not mean that they will be restrained and they will be like kind of jailed in the tent. That's not the meaning. And Ibn Qayyim said that description of these is like those women who are being drugged, you know. A woman who is drugged, you know, to love someone. And they will be drugged to, they love their husband so much that their mind and their passion and their heart is with their, subhanAllah, is with their husband. And Mujahid, another Mufassir, said that maqsurat, meaning they're restrained, they have restrained their hearts to the love of their husbands in a nice, beautiful pavilion or tents, beautiful structure, made of lu'lu, made of pearl, and made of jewelry, and so on, and so forth. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman, فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ, in them will be fair companions, good and beautiful. So, Ibn Qayyim says that khayrat, the plural of khayr, meaning good, and it and hisan, meaning beautiful. Hisan is plural of hasan, hasana, which is beautiful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Jannah, the believers will have companions of good. Good includes the good manners, the beautiful faces, good in every way. Good in talking, good in dealing with you, good in manners, good in speaking, and beautiful in every way. Beautiful in their smell, beautiful in their skin, beautiful in their face, and so on and so forth. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارًا عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا لِأَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ. We have created their companions of special creation and made them virgin pure, beloved by nature, equal in age for the companions of the right hand. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naba, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا. Verily, for the righteous, there will be a fulfillment of the heart's desires, gardens enclosed, and grapevines, and companions of equal age. وكواعب أترابا, Mufassirun, the great Mufassirin such as Qutada and Mujahid, said that it's a kawaib atraba, meaning those beautiful women who have perfect shaped breasts, beautiful round shapes, beautiful round breasts, smooth and soft. So they are describing the beauty of one. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is describing the beauty of the Hur al Ain by describing their round, beautiful, perfect shaped breasts. Also, Imam Bukhari, in his authenticity, narrated that Anas ibn Malik said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that a ghudwa in the way of Allah, or rawha khairu min ad-dunya, is the best, better than the dunya and everything in it. And a ghudwa is the time that one walks from fajr to middle of the day, and rawha is from middle of day to the sunset. That the time that one walks during that the ajr for someone who walks in those periods in the way of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is better than the whole dunya and everything in it. And he said that the place of the place, the stick, the stick that one has in Jannah, that its place is better than the whole dunya and everything in it. And he said that if a woman from the woman of Jannah looks to earth, that she will fill everything between the heaven and between the earth with her beautiful smell, and she would fill it with light, and she will fill all the darkness between the earth and the heaven with light and with beautiful perfume. If only one of them looked from the heaven, just one. Imagine the Jannah has all of these Hur al-Ain. Imagine the smell. And the piece that she puts on her head, the Hur al-Ain that is better than everything in this dunya, and better than this dunya and everything that is in it. Also, Imam Ahmad narrates that the Prophet ﷺ said that for every man in Jannah, he will have two wives of Hur al-Ain. Of course, the Shaheed will have 72, but this is a regular believer, will have two Hur al-Ain. Every one of these Hur al-Ain will have 70 clothes of silk, and you would still be able to see her leg, even though she's closed with 70 clothes. So the brightness of her leg is so powerful, so beautiful, that you can see it even though she's been closed by 70 layers of silk. Also, in another hadith, it says Imam al-Tabrani narrates from Bakr ibn Sahal al-Dimyati, from Amr ibn al-Hashim al-Biruni, from Salman ibn Abi Kraymah, even from Hisham ibn Hassan, from al-Hassan, from his father, from Salama. She said that I asked the Prophet ﷺ, said, "O Prophet, what is the meaning of Hur al-Ain in the Quran?" So the Prophet replied, said that they are Hur, very beautiful white. They have large, beautiful eyes. In their faces, and their bodies is like silk, so smooth. And they have green, beautiful, silky clothes. And they have so much jewelers, and their comb is made of gold. And they will say in Jannah, they say, "We are the ones who will live forever and will never die. We are the ones who are so silky and smooth, and we will never get depressed, and we will never get old, and we are always pleased. We will never get angry, a joy is to those who is our husband, and we are the joy for those who are. So a joy is for those who we will be their wives, and joys are to those who will be their husbands." Then she said, Salama, she said, "O Prophet, what about the woman? Sometimes one of us marries two husbands," meaning he marries one husband and then dies, and then a second one and dies, and then a third one and dies. Then she goes into Jannah. And they all of the husbands that she married in her time, that they died before her, will also enter the Jannah. In this case, which one will be her husband? So he said, "O Salama, she will choose the best one that treated her in the dunya." So the best one, the one that has the best manner and everything else. She will say, "Oh Allah, this man was the best with me. He treated me the best. He was so gentle to me. He was so kind to me. Therefore, O Allah, as if he was my husband in the dunya, make him my husband. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that happen. Also, in another hadith, narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said in the meaning of كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمُرْجَانِ, they are the likeness of rubies and coral. Said that the Prophet said that when a man looks at the face of the Hur al-Ain, because of the clearness of the face of the Hur al-Ain, he would see his face. He would see his face reflected in the face of the Hur al-Ain. And he said that the smallest pearl that she's wearing, the Hur al-Ain, will give light, enough light to light between the east and the west if it was brought to the dunya. Just one pearl of the Hur al-Ain, is the light of that pearl is so strong that it could light up between the east and the west. And it she'll have 70 clothes of silken jewelers, and yet he can still see her skin and her legs from behind these silky, beautiful clothes. Also, in an authentic hadith narrated by the Prophet ﷺ, said that for the believer in Jannah, has a great pavilion or tent made from pearl. Inside is so beautiful that the length of this tent, of the structure that's made of jewelry, is 60 miles. And in this, inside the tent, he will have a family. He will have wives, Hur al-Ain, and so on and so forth, that they will come to him and they will not see each other. So we're talking about a very, very large tent, pavilion, structure made of beautiful jewelry, beautiful pearl. And inside, it's like subhanAllah, 60 miles, that's almost like 100 kilometers, just the length of this one tent. So he will have his family in there, and he would like pass by one wife and the other, and he would not see the other side, because it's a huge tent, the size of Toronto or Tokyo we're talking about. Ibn Qaymiyyah continues by saying that Hur al-Ain is made from, he mentioned some hadith, some of them are weak, some of them are a little bit have more to the side of authenticity, saying that the Hur al-Ain are made from Za'faran. Za'faran, I don't know the translation of Za'faran, but it's a beautiful, nice smelling thing. It's something very beautiful and smelly, smells very nice. So they are not made from clay, whereas humans are made from clay. They are not made from clay. They are made in Jannah. Basically, they are made in Jannah. They are not made in the dunya. They are made in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them from something else, not from clay. And he said that if one of the Hur al-Ain spit in seven seas, or in seven seas that are salty, all of these seas will turn very sweet. Will turn very sweet because of the spit of the Hur al-Ain. So he said, imagine if the women in dunya are so beautiful, the women of dunya, some of them are made from clay. So imagine what would be the looks of the Hur al-Ain that are made from a different, something like Za'faran. Imagine how beautiful they would be. If something made from clay is that beautiful, imagine what something that's made from Za'faran would look like in the Jannah. Also, another hadith narrated by Ibn Na'im all the way to Alqama an Abdullah an Mas'ud. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said that in Jannah, while in Jannah, a light, a strong light will appear to the people, and then they would lift their hand, they will lift their heads up, and they will find that this strong light came from one of the houses of Hur al-Ain, that she laughed on the face of her husband. So when the Hur al-Ain laugh at their husbands, a very strong, beautiful light, like, will flash by. So imagine what we are talking about. Just laughing, the Hur al-Ain laughing at you. People outside will think something happened, like strong light goes outside. another hadith, in another hadith, says that the people of Jannah, from the more pleasure Allah will give them, he said, a beautiful cloud will come by, and they will be asked, what do you want the cloud to rain upon you? So, they would say, you know, why don't you rain upon us beautiful, nice Hur al-Ain, that are like very beautiful. So the cloud will rain upon them more Hur al-Ain, very beautiful Hur al-Ain. Also, in another hadith, from Abdullah ibn Wahab all the way to Ibn Abbas, he says that in Jannah, there is a river called Al-Baydakh. There is a river in Jannah. It's called Al-Baydakh. It has a huge dome made of coral, nice jewelry, red, pinkish jewelry. And under this great big dome made of jewelry, there is Hur al-Ain that are below this place. So the people of Jannah, they say, let's go to the Baydakh. So they go to the Baydakh, and they basically, they look at these beautiful, beautiful Hur al-Ain, beautiful women. And any man who, basically, we're talking about shopping for Hur al-Ain here. We're talking about shopping, free shopping for Hur al-Ain. So they go to this place, beautiful place, and they basically look up at the Hur al-Ain. Anyone who loves and likes one, all he has to do is just touch her elbow, and automatically she will become for him and she will follow him to wherever he wants to go. And these Hur al-Ain are not wives, these are jariyat, meaning these are slaves. You know, in Islam allows, you know, in Islam, slaves, you know, we have, one can buy a slave and, you know, he can have intercourse with her. Or in war bounties, you know, like a slave. So it's the same thing. It's a woman that are slave that the believers have. This is in addition to the Hur al-Ain that they have. So this is in addition to the Hur al-Ain that they have. And in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, from a hadith narrated from Mu'adh ibn Jabal from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, each time that a woman in dunya hurts her husband, that this man's wife of Hur al-Ain gets angry and says, may Allah, do not hurt him, may Allah kill you. That this man is with you temporarily, and he is about to leave you and come to me. And then she would make dua for him. It says, oh Allah, help him. And strengthen him and set him firm on your deen, and make his heart so that he would worship you, and by Allah, by your generosity, make him leave this dunya and get to the Jannah by your generosity. Also, Imam al-Awza'i narrates from Hassan ibn Atiyah from Ibn Mas'ud, says that there is in the Jannah a Hawra called Lu'ba, Al-Lu'ba. It says all of the Hur al-Ain will look at wonder, with wonder to this Hur al-Ain, because she is so beautiful. And this Hur al-Ain will say, oh Lu'ba, if only the people who know about how beautiful you are and how perfect you are, they would do anything, absolutely anything, to get to you and to get your pleasure. But they do not know you. And Ata' al-Silmi said to Malik ibn Dinar, he said, oh Abu Yahya, would you talk to us about Hur al-Ain? So Ata said that in the Jannah, there is one Hur al-Ain that all of the other Hur al-Ain in Jannah look up to that Hur, and they wonder with her beauty. And he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not write death on the people of Jannah, they would die just looking at this Hur. So it says, it's a mercy of Allah that Allah did not write death on the people of Jannah, otherwise, Just by looking at this Hur, the Lu'ba, they would die from her, from just looking at her and her beautiful and her perfect body. Now Ibn Qayyim talks about this section where he says that the people of Jannah will have the ultimate pleasure by having sexual intercourse with their wives, and by doing so, when they have sexual intercourse with their wives and Hur al-Ain in Jannah, that first of all they will not get weak, and they do not have to take a shower, they do not have to make ghusl, and there will be no fluids coming out of either one, and that the Hur al-Ain will return to the state of virginity, because she's pure, and there is no fluid coming out of any one of them, and that's the section that we're going to talk about now. So there's an authentic hadith from Abu Huraira, said that, O Prophet, do we go to our women in Jannah, meaning do we have sexual intercourse with them in Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ said, he said, yes, he said, a man might in one day come and have sexual intercourse with 100 women, and he would still have the strength, he would still be strong. And he said that the sanad of this hadith is sahih. And also another hadith from Abu Musa, also it's authentic hadith, says that for the believer in Jannah, a great pavilion or a tent made from pearl, that it's round, beautiful tent, that the length of this is 60 miles, and he has family in them, in this tent, and he will go visit them, and he will go around them, and the other side does not see the other side. And in another hadith, Prophet ﷺ was asked, they said, Prophet, what is in the Jannah of rivers? He said, it has rivers of pure honey, and it's not the honey of the dunya, it's the honey of Jannah, it's a special honey, very, very tasty, and rivers made of drinks that does not have any headache, does not have any pain, and rivers made of yogurt that the color, that the taste does not even change, so it does not expire, and rivers of water that does not change, the water doesn't change, the color doesn't change, the taste doesn't change. And he said, and Prophet, on top of these rivers and things that he mentioned, he said, on top of that, they will have wives that are pure. So he was asked, oh Prophet, do we have wives? He said, yes, you'll have wives. They are pure and they are very good in their manners and everything else. And you'll have pleasure with them, just similar pleasure that you had in dunya, meaning sexual intercourse. And your pleasure will be great, except that those Hur al-Ain will not have children, that they do not give birth to children. And in another hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, oh Prophet, do we have sexual intercourse with our wives in Jannah? He said, yes. And he said, by the one whose my soul is in his hand, you'll have sexual intercourse. When he's finished with her, she will return, and she becomes a virgin. She goes to the state of virginity. Also in another hadith, that Prophet said that the people of Jannah, they will have continuous pleasure. They will have intercourse with their wife. It's going to be so full of pleasure, and that they will have a continuous desire, that the desire does not stop. You know, in dunya, one might have a sexual intercourse for a very brief moment, and that's it. Once he's done, his desire is gone. But in the dunya, he'll have a continuous strength to continue. And in another hadith, the Prophet was asked, do the people of Jannah have sexual intercourses and pleasures just like they did in the dunya? He said, yes, but in the Jannah, there is no fluid, there is no sperm, there is nothing like that. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was asked whether the people of Jannah will touch their wives, meaning they will have sexual intercourse. The Prophet ﷺ replied by saying yes. He said, by the one who has sent me with the truth, he said, they will have males and females, private parts that never get tired, and a sexual desire that never gets weakened. But he said in another hadith that they will not have any fluids come out of them, and they will not die at all. They will live like that forever. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغْلٍ فَاكِيُونَ in Surah Yasin, that the people of Jannah, that day are in continuous, they're continuously busy. The Mufassirin said, in the word busy here, that he said that they're busy having pleasure, having fun with their wives, with Hur al-Ain, and having fun with their slaves that they have. And another hadith, marfu, narrated by Ibrahim from Yahya ibn Yaman, from Ash'ath, from Ja'far, from Sa'id ibn Jubair, he said that the man in Jannah, his sexual desire will run in his body for 70 years, that you will find the pleasure. That means when he's having sexual intercourse with his wife, his sexual desire will be with him for 70 years. For 70 years. And after that, after they're over with having sexual intercourse, that they will not have to make ghusl, because they will be pure, they will be clean, there's no fuel coming out of anyone. So they do not need to make a purification like in dunya, when one needs to make ghusl and cleanse himself. There is no such thing, there is no need for that, because they're both clean, they're both pure, and there's no fluids that come out of them. Plus, on top of that, when one has sexual intercourse with his wife, Hur al-Ain, the period of one sexual intercourse is 70 years, and after that, he does not have to get clean or purified, and he does not get weak at all, but he will still have strength, and he will still have strength to have sexual intercourse with another wife, and so on and so forth. And he said that the best people in the Jannah, that the best people, that those who will have the most pleasure, are those who were in the dunya, who were the furthest from the haram, from gazing at women, from drinking khamr, from being with women, from making zina. So the furthest one is away from the haram in the dunya, the closest and the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him from the pleasures of the dunya. And whoever wears silk in the dunya will not wear it in the akhirah. Whoever eats from the plates of gold and silver will not eat from them in the day of akhirah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that these things are for the kuffar in the dunya and for the believers in the akhirah. And whoever has finished his pleasures used his pleasures in the dunya by haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have that person take these pleasures in the qiyamah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِيَا in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to the kuffar when they are in Jahannam, he said that you have finished and went away with your pleasures in your dunya, and you have enjoyed it. That's it, it's finished. You have enjoyed it, you have enjoyed the haram, you have had pleasures of the haram, you will not have any pleasures in the akhirah. Now, Ibn Qayyim talks about the issue of the people of Jannah listening to the singing of Al-Hur Al-Ain. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَفَرَّقُونَ فَأَمَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَهُمْ فِي رَوْضَةٍ يُحْبَرُونَ. Then those who have believed and worked righteous deeds shall be happy in a mid of delight. And he said that فهم, the explanation of فَهُمْ فِي رَوْضَةٍ يُحْبَرُونَ, he said this al-hibra, meaning that the pleasure of listening to something very beautiful, some sound, something very beautiful. And he quotes a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that in Jannah there are Hur al-Ain who raise their voices by singing beautiful songs that no creature ever heard of, beautiful songs. And they will say that we are the Hur al-Ain that are in Jannah forever. We never die. We are the soft and smooth skinned ones. We never get despair. We never get unpleasant. We never get angry. And we are always pleasant. We are always pleased. We are always happy. And it's a joy to those who have us. And it's a joy for us who have them. And in another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, he said that there is in Jannah a very long river, the length of the Jannah, that on two sides of this river are beautiful Hur al-Ain. They do nothing but sing so that the whole Jannah listen to them, sing beautiful songs, and no one No one ever heard such beautiful song. So they asked Abu Huraira, oh Abu Huraira, this is a marfu' hadith. So they asked Abu Huraira, what is that singing? What are they singing? He said, if Allah wants, they'll sing to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make tahmid and to make taqdis for Allah, to give glory to Allah, to thank Allah, to make tasbih to Allah, and so on and so forth. And then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is in Jannah a special tree that its roots is made from gold and its branches made from zabarjad, which is a special type of zabarjad and pearl. He said that then Allah sends a gentle wind to this tree, and then it makes a beautiful noise, that the noise of this tree that is so beautiful that no one heard any such beautiful sound in the dunya ever. So just the sound of the wind hitting against this tree makes a beautiful sound by the will of Allah. In another hadith from Abu Umama, said that the Prophet ﷺ has said that any servant of Allah that enters the Jannah, except that two from Hur al-Ain will sit one next to his head and one next to his legs, and they sing to him with a beautiful song that no one in humans ever heard. So beautiful. So it's a special Hur al-Ain. They come to you, one of them sits next to your head, one of them sits next to your legs, and they just sing to you, and you listen, and you just relax and have ultimate pleasure by just listening to their beautiful voices. He said also in Jannah there is some trees, as we said, carries pearl and other type of jewelry, and beneath these beautiful trees are Hur al-Ain, so beautiful that they sing all kinds of songs, and when they sing, the tree sings back to them. The tree also sings in a special way. He said that when one hears these songs, he gets confused. Is the songing of the tree better or the songing of the Hur al-Ain? It's amazing, subhanAllah. Also, Ibn Qayyim continues by saying that there is even more beautiful song than the song of Hur al-Ain. So he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell his malaika, his angels, he said, my angels, look, my servants used to love to listen to beautiful songs, but they left it for the sake of me. They left the haram songs, even though they wanted to hear it. They left it for the sake of me. Oh my malaika, oh my angels, make my servants listen to beautiful sound. And then the malaika will start singing by making tasbih and tahleel and takbir with a beautiful song. Also, it's narrated by Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, in his book Kitab al-Zuhd. He said that in the explanation of وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَ وَحْسْنَ مَعَابْ, he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Dawood next to the throne. He said, oh Dawood, praise me with that beautiful song, with that beautiful praise that you used to, with that beautiful sound that you used to praise me in the dunya. He said, then Dawood will start singing to the people of Jannah, and it will be so amazing. And Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim continues by saying, and on top of this, there is even the greater singing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate and most pleasure. And looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleasure than anything else, absolutely. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to his servants in Jannah, and he will read to him Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will read to the people of Jannah Quran from his own voice. And he said, listening to the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ultimate pleasure that nothing is compared to it. And looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate pleasure that exceeds everything else. And he said that the servants of Allah will go and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice every day, some of them less. And he said that Allah will read the Quran on them, and they are sitting in a beautiful seat, seats, huge seats made of all kinds of jewelry, pearl, gold, silver, coral, and zumarrad, and everything else. So they're beautiful, sitting in a beautiful, nice places, and listen to the voice of Allah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recites to them from the Quran. Then they go back home, and they can't wait for another day to go back and see Allah and talk to Him and listen to Him. Ibn Qayyim then says that the people of Jannah will have rides. They will have horses, beautiful horses, and horses made of that has wings, and it's horses made of yaqut, made of jewelry, made of coral. So beautiful horses that does not urinate, does not become dirty. Beautiful horses, reddish, pinkish, reddish, that's similar to the color of the coral, the jewelry. It has two wings that will take you and fly you with whatever you want. Take you and fly you whatever you want. And he said that mentioning the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ from Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said that the Prophet ﷺ has said that if the people of Jannah enter the Jannah, the horses of jewelry, coral, reddish, that has beautiful wings, does not urinate or anything like that, will come to them, then they will sit on it, and these horses will fly them in the Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal himself to them. Then they want man to make a sujood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, "No, raise up your hand. Today is not a day of worship. Today is a day of reward." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rain to them beautiful rain of perfume and misk. Then they will go back to their family, and they are all perfumed up, all smell, nice smelling, which makes their hurl ain attract to them more and love them more. Also in Jannah, the people of Jannah will be able to visit each other, and when they visit each other, they will be talking about the dunya and how they lived in the dunya and what they did in the dunya and everything else. So there is so much pleasure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for those who strive in his path. And no matter how much we talk about the Jannah, and even if we talk for 100 hours about the Jannah and what's in it, it will never ever come close to what's really in the Jannah. Because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْعَيُنُ. And in Jannah is whatever the self desires and the eyes love to see. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That in Jannah is there are things that no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and no heart has even guessed. So that means if you go back home and for a whole year, just keep imagining of the things that you love to see, things you would love to do, things you would love to have, you will never ever guess. You'll never even come close to what is in the Jannah. And this is the Jannah, this is the prize. This is the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those who are sacrificing their lives. And remember, everything that one sacrifices in the dunya, Allah will give him something much better. For example, someone who sacrifices a woman, for example, sacrifices haram, Allah gives them a hur al-ain, and we talked about it. Someone who sacrifices songs and singing in haram way, Allah will give him hur al-ain, will give him trees, will give him malaika that sing for him. Someone who sacrifices khamr, drinking wine, Allah will give him khamr in the Jannah. Someone who sacrifices from gazing at women, from gazing at haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him gaze at his hur al-ain and beautiful woman. Someone who sacrifices his self, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recreate him in the Jannah, and will give him a life that is never ending. So whatever sacrifice, whatever thing that one leaves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous, will reward one with all kinds of pleasures that this person left for the sake of Allah. Allah will give it to him in a much better way, in a more continuous way in the Jannah. So this is the Jannah, dear brothers and sisters. This is the Jannah. This is what is waiting for us if we were to go. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making jihad in his way, by giving victory to his deen, by giving victory to his deen, until making the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah raise, and until we make the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implemented. This is what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very happy. This is what will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all these rewards. And we said that the Jannah is something very precious, and also the cost of getting the Jannah is precious, and that's the cost of of sacrificing this dunya, sacrificing your job, sacrificing your wife, sacrificing your kids, sacrificing your money, sacrificing your business, sacrificing your own self, sacrificing your own life that you had. Someone might have a beautiful, nice life, a comfortable life. One has to make sacrifices to get the ultimate pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever